You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of December 19th, 2017. And this is episode number 342. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And yes, this is the last show before Christmas. We'll have one more show at the end before the end of the year. And so just in case, I know how I am. I forget sometimes. I get wrapped up in what I'm talking about. I just want to wish everyone out there a Merry Christmas. And yeah, I know that's maybe not political, but I'm going to say it anyway. And well, we said Happy Hanukkah last week. So all those nice celebrations that anyone out there celebrates, especially Christmas, looking forward to it next week. It's the end, kind of the nice end of the year for those of us that work retail. And of course, everybody in the paranormal, we flip our calendars to a whole new year of events that I'm really looking forward to next year. There's a few things obviously that I'm excited about, a conference that I'm putting on in the early part of the year, February 17th, and a couple of other events I'm going to be a part of also. So I'm kind of excited about next year, and let's just get 2017 out of the way. Let's just put it to rest and just after next week, we're not going to talk about 2017 anymore. But anyway, this week's news, we got some really interesting stories, and I'm also going to I don't know if anybody saw my post out there on the Paranews Insider Facebook page. I'm going to break some evidence that really hasn't been talked about. I did discover something, actually, about one of our stories. Going to kind of break some information that actually has to do with this Bigfoot. Yes, there's proof of Bigfoot. Again, somebody else has stepped forward with the, quote, best evidence ever, unquote, of Bigfoot. And you've probably seen a little bit of that, but we're going to dig into that story a little bit more tonight. We're going to grab a shovel and really dig into it. Strange things still afoot in British Columbia. And we'll talk about the NASA's big announcement from last week and what that really means in the whole spectrum of things. And before we get into the Bigfoot story, this week's news is brought to you by No, it's not who you think. This week, it's brought to you by Cryptid Culture Magazine. Cryptid Culture Magazine is published three times a year and features a variety of stunning artwork from numerous artists, as well as articles that focus on both the skeptical and believer side of cryptozoology, with contributors such as Lauren Coleman, who was the guest last night on the Crypto Kid radio show, also Lyle Blackburn, Ken Gerhardt, Linda Godfrey, David Weatherly, Bill Munns, Chad Lewis, as well as WCJV hosts Colin Schneider and the voice of the Paranormal News Insider, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Always weird to refer to myself in the third person. Anyway, get the latest issue, issue number 7, with my article on Black Panther sightings at cryptidculture.com before it becomes extinct. Okay, that was bad. Actually, you can purchase back issues as well as the latest issue, issue number 7. Again, cryptidculture.com. It's a great magazine, and I know I haven't really done a book of the week lately. It's kind of by design because we're covering a lot of information with all these stories, the top 10 and everything coming out, and trying to squeeze some new news in there as well. Which is kind of tough to do, and there's so much other stuff to talk about. I think I forget how many pages. I'm going to look real quick. I didn't even open my thing. Well, top 10 paranormal news stories. It's like 75, 76 pages worth of information. Well, no, I'm sorry. It's 80. 87. So it's 87 pages of information that I'm going to bring to you over the course of 5 weeks. And we're going to cover a big chunk of that tonight with some stories that didn't quite make the top 10. And that'll maybe kind of shape what you already know is in the other parts of the top 10. And we'll talk about, obviously, number 4 and number 3 tonight we're going to debut. And then that'll leave number 2 and number 1 for next week. So you have a nice Christmas treat, a little gift that you're not going to be able to open until the day after. The shiny bow on it for the number 2 and number 1 stories next week. But all this information, I really haven't had a chance to really talk about a book of the week or anything like that. But I have, trust me, I have a ton of books. I've been trying to catch up on a few for heading into next year, so we have a lot more stuff to talk about. But if you've not seen Cryptid Culture Magazine and you're into cryptozoology, this is a must-have. This is a really extraordinary thing here. It is. I mean, just the artwork alone is worth it. Just stunning. The covers don't really do justice to some of the photos. Not really photos, they're drawings. It's just beyond words what you're going to see inside of the magazine, let alone what you see on the front covers, which is also very good artwork. And the latest issue has this weird-looking thing, and it's actually the Flatwoods Monster. And it was kind of shocking because I always look at the front cover to see who is in there. And Colin Schneider's in there. I'm in there. And Colby White and Scott C. Marlowe, a couple of other people in here. But I was really surprised. I got my issue in the mail since I wrote an article. And I was really surprised to see the Flatwoods UFO Monster article by none other than Joe Nickel, who is a very known skeptical person, investigator. People always ask me, hey, how do you get paid to go and investigate? Well, the only person – well, I shouldn't say person – people that get paid to go and investigate paranormal phenomena such as ghosts, UFOs, and cryptids are actually skeptics. They actually get paid and reimbursed for their expenses to go out and investigate these cases. So you want to get paid? Be a skeptic. But this is it's really cool because it was in the Skeptical Inquirer, and it's one of the really big things of why I enjoy Cryptid Culture Magazine, because it's not all just about the stuff that we all believe in or want to believe in. It's also the skeptical side as well, and they don't really tell you what you can and can't talk about. As long as it's in cryptozoology, they're pretty much going to publish it, and I have a few more articles up my sleeve that I'll be publishing through this magazine in the near future. Like I said, it is published every 3 months. Let's see, November, March, and I think July. So it's every 3 months, but it's good because then it's giving you really good information. And a lot of great people have written some awesome articles. I get caught up in reading this quite frequently. Whenever I get it, it's just really good stuff, really good information. And I was sitting at a convention a couple of months ago, and I was reading through one of the issues that I was in before, and I'm like, I don't remember reading this article, and I got enthralled in reading an article. So it's really good information to kind of kick back on. And I mentioned that Colin Schneider is in this latest Cryptid Culture magazine. He's done, I think this is his third one, and he's got a really nice article in there that's titled, So You Want to Be a Cryptozoologist. And it's a pretty good article. But if you're into Black Panthers, I wrote a pretty good article as well, and really kind of tickled that I'm actually the opening story, and that's the second article I've written for this magazine, and strangely enough, the other article was actually the opening article as well, so I'm really tickled. And again, Cryptid Culture Magazine, if you go to cryptidculture.com, check this stuff out, and it's like $13 for a magazine, but trust me, it's worth it. The artwork alone is excellent. The articles are really good, and they're, like I said, they're pretty balanced. I mean, you're going to have some heavy-duty true belief stuff, but you're also going to have a little bit of skeptical side as well, and I'm going to be exploring those boundaries in some upcoming articles as well. And heck, I might even do some year-in-review stuff here about the paranormal news. Check that out. And what else do we have? Well, the event listing, talk about that real quick. Paranormal conferences, conventions, I've updated that list. Good headway here on 2018. I know there's a lot more left to talk about, to put up on the website, but I just wanted to get ones that I definitely know have been announced and I'm fairly confident I'm not going to have to take down in the next couple of weeks or months. And it starts pretty quickly. The first Ghost Conference takes place January 14th. Folks, that's not that far away. It's really not. It's less than 3 weeks. It's coming. January is just around the corner. And that is the second annual Winter Parafest in Henrietta, New York. That's January 14th. And, of course, I've mentioned this once, I don't know, maybe twice, but I'm hosting the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference. That takes place February 17th in Twinsburg, Ohio. And if you don't know where that's at, you can Google it. But I'm going to tell you, it's between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio. And, yeah, it's in a crazy time of the year, but trust me, the road should be fine even if the weather is bad. You're going to have no problem getting here. Plenty of hotels in the area. This city actually hosts Twins Day every August or sometimes September. So hundreds of people from all over the country, all over the world actually, come out to this location to celebrate the oddity of being a twin or a triplet or a quadruplet. So plenty of hotels out here to come out and spend the weekend. We're only doing it one day, but it's going to be a great event. A lot of great speakers are going to be there. And I'll be there. I won't be speaking. Well, maybe a little bit. I'll be talking, but not speaking. I'll be the MC, the guy hosting. I'm going to wear my little bow tie and stuff. Well, I'm not going to get carried away here. But anyway, check out the list of conferences, conventions. And I have it split up between ghost conferences, UFO events, as well as cryptozoology events. And again, paranewsinsider.com is the hub of information about this show. All the show archives are located there, and you can read about the latest news on the news link, as well as the events, like I just mentioned, that I try to keep updated. I haven't updated it in a while, but this is the latest and greatest, folks. And this is one of the best lists you're going to find out there. A lot of people steal my stuff, which is great. I'm fine with that. I think that's cool. Share a like, and also steal, and steal a like. It's my motto, I think. Well, it is now because I just said it. I didn't know it was, but it sounds cool. Anyway, let's jump into this Bigfoot story. I do have a photograph here that's going to kind of put into context some of the stuff. And this is the wacky story, probably the wackiest Bigfoot story I've covered in quite a long time. And I've covered some very wacky Bigfoot stories, especially this year. There's quite a list of them. And, you know, we've had, was it Sylvaniac, can't remember that guy's name off the top of my head. But anyway, you know that story. We were talking about this guy claims that Bigfoot is real, and he's going to sue the government. He's going to sue the province of British Columbia over the fact that this thing is real. And that's really one of the latest stories. But now somebody else has kind of jumped on the bandwagon here. Well, he's been on the bandwagon for a little while, probably since about January. He started making YouTube videos, but it didn't get popular until he released last week, released a video about the head of a Bigfoot that he has. Yes, a large frozen head that was debuted on his YouTube channel. And all of a sudden, everybody just starts talking about this. And I'd heard about one video, and somebody said something. It just was totally ridiculous. So I just ignored it. But now, all of a sudden, this is like front page paranormal news. So kind of got to talk about it. And I don't know how far this is going to go. But if you've had a chance, start listening to some of these stories that this guy is talking about. They're really, really out there. And he's really, really out there as a person. But anyway, this latest claim comes from the YouTube channel. This guy's a dog trainer, and his name is Peter Kane. Kind of a cool name. Peter Kane Dog Training is his YouTube channel, and it's kind of a flurry, a mixture of Bigfoot-related videos and dog training tips, which is kind of weird. And yes, he is a comedian. A lot of people have said, well, he's a comedian, so this is fake. Well, yeah, that's cute. That's pretty surface level kind of thinking here, but we're going to dig into the story a little bit further. I kind of got obsessed with this. I started watching these videos one after another, and I remembered seeing one about the foot. I thought, well, this is really interesting. So I saw there's a whole bunch on the foot. But this latest one, like I said, he shows off the head of what he claims is a Bigfoot. I mean, this is it. Wow. Finally, the proof we've been waiting for. I mean, here it is, a big head, frozen head for all to see. Well, yes, this is not the first video. He's actually put out a ton of videos. I couldn't even count. I couldn't even tell you. There's literally 60, 70 videos just on his Bigfoot stuff. And it's really hard to kind of keep track of, to be honest with you. But one of the earliest ones I can say came out on January 4th of this year. He put out one titled Bigfoot Severed Ankle and Right Foot Unveiled. Only known physical proof of Sasquatch. That's the title of the video. You can search for it on YouTube. In the video, he discussed how his father, Mike Kane, and his friend Morty Lucas were hunting ducks back in the early morning of September 23rd, 1953. And don't worry, because pretty much every single video he does, he talks about the same story. He talks about the same people from Berkeley and a guy from MIT and all the same facts and figures over and over again. And he kind of is very, very repetitious about stuff. And that's kind of sort of a hallmark of one of two things. Either somebody who is a, what the term is, but essentially somebody who is embellishing or lying, as well as a sociopath. I'm not going to say he's a sociopath, and I'm not going to quite say he's a liar, but this is some really interesting information. But it's weird in this particular video, you kind of get a feeling as to the direction of the reason why he's kind of coming out about this. And his father, Mike Kane, had possession of this Bigfoot carcass, I guess. It's just a bunch of pieces that were chopped up on site after they killed this thing. They also killed a baby Sasquatch, which has not yet been revealed, but he says he's going to reveal this in the near future. And they had a hard time cutting up all these body parts. I guess they needed bolt cutters and all this other stuff, and they actually used the motor of a boat to cut the head off, which is an interesting story, one worth watching that video. And so they chopped up all this Bigfoot parts and they froze it all in a very large industrial freezer. So Mike Kane passed away, last year, purportedly. That's what he says. That's what his son says. So when he passed away, he left him this Bigfoot carcass, which also broke up his parents, because I guess this, as the story goes, one of the stories, his father brought the head to the table during Thanksgiving dinner, and his mom flipped out, and it caused them to divorce. It's weird stuff, but trust me, this is all coming from his video. And it gets deeper than that, folks. That's just the beginning. Yes, that's just the beginning of this story. It's just rather wacky. So he gets possession of this body, and he starts showing off pieces through the YouTube video, claiming that he has possession of the only proof of Sasquatch in the world. And it's funny, because this particular video that I mentioned about the severed ankle and right foot, he comes out and one of the first things he says is, quote, "Now a little bit about the Sasquatch community. You are all a bunch of a-holes," unquote. And he was really adamant, and he swears quite a bit. So if you're going to watch this stuff, it's not safe for work, not safe for children at all, not let alone the body parts and stuff, but just kind of some of the stuff he says. Now, it's funny, because I've heard this kind of attitude before, and it's kind of in reference to the fact that he's talked about Bigfoot for years, which is weird, because I'd never heard of the story until this year. And he says that the community has attacked him over his claims, yet he is the one that has the only actual proof, which is weird, because this is exactly like I've heard before from a lot of other hoaxers out there, especially like the one that happened back in 2008 with Matt Whitten and Rick Dyer, that escapade that took place, the Georgia Bigfoot hoax, one of the largest hoaxes in recent Bigfoot history. The entire hoax was essentially aimed at the Bigfoot researcher community, which is weird, because Rick Dyer is now a part of that Bigfoot researcher committee community, which is kind of stupid, but you will leave that where it's at and pat that down with the shovel that we got. Now, in the video, back to the video, Peter goes on to say how heavy the foot is a number of times. I lost count over after 25 times about how, him commenting how heavy this thing was and how real it is, and even goes so far as to say that it's probably, get ready for this, you probably knew this was coming, that he thinks it's probably alien in origin. He then shows how swamp water is coming off of it since the foot is beginning to thaw. And again, like I said, there's a number of other videos, probably 40 or 50 other videos. Another video, he claims that the DNA came back unknown carbon life form, which wouldn't happen. I can tell you that from DNA results I've seen from a lot of other creature findings or hair analysis findings. It's no way it's just going to come back and say unknown carbon life form. He watches too much TV. In another video, he shows objects which he claims show this creature is also a cyborg. Yes, if alien wasn't enough, now he's claiming that Bigfoot is a cyborg, which is a half-living animal and half-machine. Very similar to, yeah, the DC Comics movie that came out with Cyborg. His proof of this is a chunk of flesh with robotic parts attached to it that he keeps in what he calls a tiny freezer. Yeah. Supposedly his dad created that. Kind of impossible. During the video, he pans around the object, and you can clearly see a capacitor, battery, and other basic electronics that are obviously created by humans, and certainly not in the 1950s. It's pretty modern day stuff, and that's really, I know, kind of anticlimactic, but that's what I wanted to show you guys. That's the actual proof that he has, but it's actually proof that is not what he claims it's to be. It's kind of tips his hand here. It's really not what he thinks. And I'm going to show the clip of the YouTube video in the chat room here. So you're going to see the little clip here. And this is him panning around the yeah, this is proof Bigfoot is a part machine. Sasquatch is a cyborg video. And you can see the capacitor there up there on the right. And you can see these yellow wires and all this stuff. And at first I thought it was part of the mini freezer, which is actually somebody had commented in exactly what I thought is like one of those dollar store tap lights inverted. It's kind of what it looks like to me. And I have another picture here that shows all this stuff. And I showed capacitor with a similar capacitor would actually look like in reference to this. So you can kind of see in the photograph here that that's obviously writing and it's obviously a capacitor. Well, I put 22U. Well, that's the same thing, really. It's 2.2. It's the same thing. And if you're not listening live in the chat room, you're missing out on these wonderful pictures of some of the work that I've done to screen cap some of this information. But fear not. Because during the week, I'll put this stuff out there so you can listen or you can see what I'm talking about, I guess. Put it in perspective and see these photographs for yourself. Now, other videos, he shows both feet together, which is kind of interesting. He also shows the stomach contents, which is – this is kind of when I just pretty much decided this guy's really off his rocker, I guess. The stomach contents included a two-headed pig. Yeah, it was a real small two-headed pig, but still two-headed pig. And it was whole. It wasn't chewed on. It wasn't ripped apart. It was a whole two-headed pig, which you can actually get on eBay as a kind of a gag gift. So I think that's kind of maybe where he got it, which he says proves that Sasquatch was an alien or at least an interdimensional creature and that the pig is obviously alien. I mean, it's obvious, right? Yeah, and yeah, the fact that the pig was swallowed whole, kind of weird because if you look at the Bigfoot mouth on the Bigfoot head that he has, I don't see how that could have swallowed that. And he also has the kidneys, which are also pretty small, by the way. And then it gets even weirder. Yes, it gets even weirder. Peter eating a piece of Bigfoot flesh is another video. Yes, he actually ate a piece of Bigfoot. He purportedly got really sick from it. But then, yes, the side effects of eating pieces of Bigfoot, another video. Yeah, this is when it gets really, really out there. He goes into long detail about how he suffers. I'll just give you the initials. ED. So he suffers from ED. And all of a sudden, now that he's had this Bigfoot flesh, he no longer suffers from this condition. And now his stamina has increased to where he can easily do 5,000 push-ups or 5,000 sit-ups. No problem. It's nothing, he says. Okay. Yeah. And he also goes into the Bigfoot alien connection. And I could go on and on. Something about him being abducted. Another one about him telepathically communicating. So I don't know if, you know, he is a comedian or whatnot. But also, if you watch some of his other videos, his non-Bigfoot videos, he also creates animatronic creatures and people and other objects. He has a baby Hitler animatronic creature in a little chair, which is creepy. So he's a creator. He's an inventor. He's somebody who puts things together like this that he actually does for movies and different things. So I'm not sure where this is coming from. I got a really weird sneaking suspicion, but I don't want to say anything yet. But I think there's a couple of stories that I've mentioned that might be tied together here. I don't know. Just kind of weird. But I really don't hold any stock that this is actually accurate or true, or that he does have a Bigfoot, despite how many times he'll tell you that, yes, I'm a comedian, but I am actually telling you the truth, and this Bigfoot is real. He'll tell you 100 times in a video, in a 10, 15-minute video, that this thing is real. But I don't see how. I mean, so many things kind of go against each other, and being a cyborg and an alien and all this other stuff, it just seems kind of weird. And one of the now, you may think that this is strange enough, but during the multiple videos, again, 40 or 50 of these things, he also mentions the Bigfoot Museum of North America. That's his big goal here, I guess, where a generous donation from a Japanese businessman has allowed him to transport the Bigfoot head and other body parts to his home and is allowed to keep things frozen. So he's looking at opening this Bigfoot Museum of North America, I think he said 2020-ish. And he's not only that, but there's going to be rides. It's going to be like an amusement park. Yeah, Bigfoot-themed amusement park. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be, hopefully it's in New York. That'd be great. Be a nice drive to see this thing. Doubt it's going to happen, but I'm just, it's what he's saying. It's what he claims. We'll see. It's funny. He continues to use the same names throughout. Like I said, somebody from Berkeley and somebody from MIT, but he's continuously adding new information and kind of changing the stories. And like I said, he recently announced he has an intact baby Bigfoot that his father shot back in 1953 as well. So I guess he didn't have to hack that one up. Yikes. It is real, though. That's what he keeps saying. But I'm pretty sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that it's just entertainment. And it is very entertaining. I mean, I've just spent 20 minutes talking about this thing. And, you know, I became obsessed with these videos. I watched them. I'm just like, this guy, this is like the most entertaining thing on YouTube right now. And this guy should be a millionaire. He probably is from these videos. But it's just wacky how he claims it's definitive. And that's the one thing about not so much cryptozoology, but the Bigfoot field that really, really annoys me and irritates me and angers me sometimes is that the entire culture about Bigfoot isn't whether or not there's really a Bigfoot out there. It's how can you fool people into thinking that you have a Bigfoot or that you have a video or that you have a body part? That's all it's become. It's become a complete joke. And this is where the focus is on this creature, is how can I dupe the entire world into thinking that I have inside information or that I have a body or anything like that. And you don't have to be a researcher. You could be some comedian from New York and just come out and make up this great story and people buy into it or believe it. However, if you go and read the YouTube comments, I would say an overwhelming majority of people are not buying it, which is good. But I wish people wouldn't give the attention to this. And unless something major comes out, I certainly don't want to give it any more attention than what I've already given it. But it's still an interesting story, and people are going to be talking about it. And it's kind of like one of those, you know, I always say this, you know, one of those accidents. You know, it's a really bad accident. Traffic is backed up for miles on the side of the road where the accident didn't even happen because people want to rubberneck. They want to look. And you say, you know, these people are disgusting. Why are they looking? It's an accident. Somebody got hurt. But when it's your turn to go by, what do? You look over. You just can't help but look. And that's exactly where this story fits into. It's a train wreck or it's a car wreck. I can smell the burning rubber from here. You're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And I do not have a Bigfoot body. I do not have any inside information as to what Bigfoot is or where it comes from. No, I don't have a clue. But we'll keep an eye on the story with a skeptical eye. And a frozen eye, I guess, apparently, on Mr. Peter Kane here. Interesting story, but it's time to move on. Let's go into other news. And this story I kind of alluded to last week. It's kind of one of my favorite stories. It's ongoing. It's been going on for 10 years. And you may or may not have heard of it. If you've heard of it, it's back. And it might not be in the top 10. It's never been in the top 10. It's never been in the countdown at all throughout the years, despite this being a really, really interesting story. But this may very well be one of the biggest ongoing mysteries anywhere in the world. And I'm not talking just paranormal stuff. I'm talking a mystery in general. It's just weird. It's been happening in and around the Vancouver Island region of British Columbia since 2007. Since then, 12 shoes have washed ashore, each with a part of a foot or leg bones inside. Creepy, I know. It's what is known as the Salish Sea human foot discoveries. Of these, 8 have been identified and belong to 6 different individuals, and 1 belonged to a missing man whose boat capsized in 1987. That's weird because I remember a 1 foot washed up in a region, and then 7 days later, the other foot of the same body washed up only a couple of miles away. That is just weird. And they say that the odds of that are millions to one. It's unheard of that that would have happened, but it's actually happened twice in these cases. This is by far one of the most boggling mysteries. Now, the coroner's service stated that they did not feel that foul play was involved in any of these cases, but didn't really expand on how they came to that conclusion. One can only think that none of these feet showed any sort of cuts, as if the body was chopped up or anything like that. It was just naturally separated from the body. So this would mean that these feet ended up becoming separated from their bodies after an accident or a suicide. But how and why are so many washing ashore in this general area in just the last decade? Well, all these questions aside and the speculation, a 13th foot has just been discovered by a hiker along a beach south of Vancouver. It's as of yet, unidentified. But it's weird. We haven't had anything happen in about a year. Now, all of a sudden, here's another foot. The question is, will another one pop up somewhere else? Weird, strange, and creepy all at the same time. There should be a movie about this. Really should. But it's interesting because there's a lot of actual information about this. If you look up the Salish Sea human foot discoveries, there's maps that show you where all these shoes were discovered, what types of shoes they were. Most of them are actually athletic shoes, and a couple of Walmart boots, which is weird. Not just men, there's also women or child-sized boots that have shown up with these previous 12. I don't know what this 13th one was, but it's just creepy weird to see a shoe with 2 bones sticking out of it washing up and people just finding these random things. And it doesn't really seem to happen anywhere else in the world. Weird stuff. And let me put that link to that story. If you don't want to get any sleep tonight, you can look at that. And again, I'll be posting all of these links. Yes, Footloose. I think that was the joke I did the last time I covered this story. Footloose. There is a Footloose somewhere. So yeah, don't fret. I will be putting links out to these stories during the week through my Facebook page, facebook.com/ParanewsInsider. And that's also tied to my Twitter account, which is at ParanewsInsider. So any of that information, you can get out there. And watch out. I'm going to throw another link at you guys. Wikipedia. I don't normally use them as a resource, but Wikipedia has a nice article on the Salish Sea human foot discoveries. And it kind of gives you a little bit of an inside look at some of their theories behind this and some of their discoveries and the information behind some of these people and some of the stories, which is weird because one of them was actually a boat accident that happened in 1987, and they found the feet, but nothing else. And it was years later, many years later. Weird, like feet just floating around for years. Okay, let's go. Let's get away from the Salish Sea, which is a beautiful area, by the way, despite the feet floating around. And we're going to go to, well, let's go out of outer space. Why not? Let's go as far away as we can here and talk about that big reveal. I talked about the big reveal that was supposed to happen on Thursday afternoon last week. And in case you haven't heard the news, it wasn't really as big as what I'd thought it was going to be. It's kind of trickled around a little bit, a lot of political things going on. And it was about the Google artificial intelligence program that did sift through thousands of signals and determined that the solar system known as Kepler-90, they found, they had already discovered seven planets, and they found an eighth planet through all this data that they had to sift through. Well, the computer did the heavy lifting, I guess. And so Kepler-90-I, not a really cool name for a planet, but nonetheless, it's the eighth planet of the solar system. And NASA was just trying to play this up as this, like, this would like blow everyone's minds. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, eight planets in a solar system? You've got to be kidding me. But nobody gets it. Nobody really, it doesn't really, that number doesn't really do anything to anybody. But NASA is, you know, this is a big claim to fame for Kepler-90 system because it now ties our solar system, yeah, the one that you live in, well, most of you live in, with Kepler-90. They're now tied with eight potential planets each. I know, of course, I'll never let this go. Prior to August of 2006, our solar system actually had nine planets. Yeah, Pluto. But it's been downgraded to a dwarf planet. The end of August 2006. It's not a planet anymore. It's sad. It's really sad. It was a move that wasn't popular with everyone, but from an astronomical standpoint, it does make sense. And it's just hard because you learn that as a kid, and then all of a sudden it's not true again. And you're just like, whoa. Wait, what? It's kind of like when the Apatosaurus kind of drama happened. But anyway. So we're now tied with another solar system, Kepler-90, and us with eight planets. Wow, it's mind-boggling. But I don't think anybody really cared. Just doesn't really mean much to people. But it is a good step forward because of this Google Brain artificial intelligence sifting through this information and is able to look for things that maybe we missed, and then we can go back and verify with our telescopes. And hopefully we'll soon get another new telescope up there. It's going to be exciting. We'll find a lot more stuff. And yeah, we're going back to Mars too. It's going to be fun. So anyway, let me throw that link quickly in the chat room before we head over to the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017. And yeah, I do this every year. And every year, yeah, you hear countdowns and the top 10 of this and the top 10 of that. So why? Why have a countdown? Well, I think it makes it exciting. Put a little drama to it. I mean, we do talk about these stories all year long, so it's good to kind of rehash things. Some of these stories last in the paranormal news for weeks, sometimes months. We had a few, one that we talked about last week that lasted pretty much from March on all the way through October. And it was a long-standing story, but it didn't even make the top three at all, because this information is based on a few different criteria. It's not a scientific formula. I don't add numbers together and come up with a golf score or anything like that to figure out. I kind of go by gut and feeling, but also kind of facts and information a little bit. And it's basically my opinion, and I put this stuff in here. And yes, a lot of it is on how viral these stories were, because if they weren't viral, nobody would really care, and it wouldn't have any weight to it. So how viral a story, it matters. If a story is just a local story, it's going to get a little bit of weight. If it's a regional story or a something that's really popular here in the United States, it's going to have a little bit more weight to it. It's a worldwide phenomenon that people all over the world are talking about. Obviously, that's going to have a lot of weight. Also, the longevity. How long did it stay in the news? If it was just one story, but yet it lasted in the news for weeks, that's going to have a lot of weight. If it was a story that developed over weeks or months, that could also have a lot more weight. And if it's just a flash in the pan story that popped up on Tuesday and by Wednesday afternoon, nobody was talking about it. They've moved on to the next coolest story or meme or whatever's going on there on Facebook, or the next selfie by one of the Kardashians, then it just kind of loses interest and it's probably not going to make the list. So it's kind of, you take all these things and then you step back and you look at it and you also say, well, what did the story really do for the paranormal community? What did it do for research? What did it do for discovery? How did this have an impact on any one of these fields? And for me, that has the heaviest weight on it. May not have done something now, but it could have the potential to do things very large in the future. And we'll discover more about that kind of comment next week when we talk about some of the top stories that I've covered from years gone by. You know, when I was 3 feet tall and so much younger, had a full head of hair, all those things so long ago. Well, yeah, just over the past 10 years I've been doing this show. I've been doing this show since 2008, but only been doing the Top 10 Paranormal News Countdown since 2010, because prior to 2010, we were a monthly show and really didn't feel like it culminated in anything worthwhile. But still kind of, when I was a part of another show, we kind of rehashed it on the beginning show of the year and kind of talked about the wrap up. But since 2010, when I've been, the end of 2010, when I started going weekly, there's just so much information. And like I said, what I'm looking at right now on my screen is 87 pages worth of information. I think I said 85 before, but it's 87 as I'm looking down here. 35,000 characters of information. It's a lot of information. And yet, not all the stuff made it. Not all the stuff. Top 10, whittling down the top 10. Very tough to do, let alone putting this all into a countdown format, which is hard to do. And sometimes I feel like I just want to just say, okay, here are the top 10 stories, but they're not in any particular order. But what fun would that be? So I take it to that next step, and I put it in order as to how I think they should be ranking. And I give a reason for that. And a quick look at the top 10 that we've already covered. Actually, the top five has already been released here. If you've missed out the last couple of weeks, we've been doing this for like 3 weeks now, I think. Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, since the end of November, after Thanksgiving. This drags on, folks, from Thanksgiving all the way to Christmas. Crying out loud, there's a lot of information here. So the number 10 story was the Aflocalypse. Gets a partial explanation. If you don't know what the Aflocalypse is, well, it's mass animal die-offs, and one of the stories centers on sperm whales, and they did some research into some solar flares and determined that this was actually a potential cause for this, a highly likely potential cause. So being able to explain that, I think that's going to maybe be able to explain other things. And yeah, you probably never heard the story, but it did something really interesting for really science, not so much the paranormal, but the paranormal has talked about this Aflocalypse kind of thing for quite a while, so that's why it made the top 10. Bigfoot was number 9, and who knows with this latest story, it might have been able to go a little further, but I still feel comfortable in that it's number 9, because number 8 is about the eclipse and the end of the world, which we all know is a big deal there toward the end of August. And the end of the world thing lasted pretty much all year. Every couple of weeks, there was another date that it's over. Turn off the lights, quit your job, spend all your money and run through the streets naked because the world is coming to an end. And, well, of course, it hasn't, not yet. And even if the prediction comes true, no one's going to be around to be able to claim that they were right anyway. So we'll all be dead. And the end of the world and the eclipse kind of overlapped there on August 21st. And there was a lot of claims leading up to that. So I feel pretty confident that number 8 with the eclipse, end of the world, that's good. Number 7 was flat earthers. We've spent way too much time talking about the flat earth phenomena and all of the fun characters that believe in it and that are perpetuating it, as well as the conference in late November that celebrated the flat earth belief. Wacky stuff. And number 6, and I mentioned a story that lasted pretty much all year, and that was the number 6 story this year of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017, and that was the Chicago Phantom. Very big story, but unfortunately kind of short on any kind of validation. And that's really the big thing that kind of kept this, and a lot of speculation about the story, unfortunately. It's, you know, we heard last night, if you listen to the Crypto Kid radio show right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Colin talked to Lauren Coleman. Lauren Coleman has written one of at least 2 books that's coming out on the Chicago Phantom. The book isn't entirely on the Chicago Phantom, but Lauren's book touches on this latest Chicago Mothman type of creature. So it's beginning to get a lot of press and a lot of attention. But again, without a lot of solid information, despite how long it lasted, I don't really think it really caught on too heavily, even here in the paranormal field. I really didn't get that sense. I mean, I was studying it, researching it, but I really didn't see, outside of a handful of websites talking about it, it seemed like a lot of people really were just like, I don't know about this. And again, nothing really heavily weighed in on this to really push it to the finish line, to go any higher than what it did on the countdown this year at number 6. Thylacine finally cracked the top 10 after I've been doing this for 7 years. Thylacine getting a lot of press this year, a lot of coverage, and also a lot of scientific discoveries. Well, not a lot, just 2, but 2 major ones with discovery of some hair that's analyzed and now photographed, and it's the actual best evidence we have to verify any future claims of anybody finding thylacine hair. That's a huge step in the direction of potentially validating a thylacine find. And some of the other scientific work done on skulls of thylacines to discover what's inside of a thylacine and validated that this was not just a carnivorous marsupial, but wasn't just a scavenger. This guy went hunting. So some really good, interesting movements forward for the thylacine. Unfortunately, it's still not discovered. And who knows? I mean, I love the little guy. And a lot of people love the thylacine, are really pushing for it to be discovered. And I've always said that I think that of any cryptid creature that's heavy in the folklore and urban legend kind of thing, I think the thylacine has a good shot of being discovered. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because it's probably not going to happen, but I'm really hopeful for my Australian listeners and Australian friends out there that hopefully that would happen. But, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath. But it would be cool because so many people don't really think it's going to happen. And with that, before we hit number 4 and number 3, I'm going to just mention a few here that didn't make the top 10. If I can find them, I'm sifting through 87 pages here, it's quite a bit of stuff. Let's see. Well, missed the cut. Fast radio bursts. You remember those things? Yeah, it was a big story in 2017. These strange, very large pulses of energy in space. People were really wondering what they were, and scientists are still kind of speculating. And at the beginning of the year, we actually didn't even have that many of them. I think there was only 10 at the beginning of the year in January, and we wrapped up the year with close to 200 fast radio bursts. Now, we'd already recorded them. We just weren't able to find them through the data. Some of the stuff reached back as far as 2001, and the first one was discovered in 2007. But that data was 6 years back. So it's you know, they have to go through and sift through data to find these things. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation that these were alien signals, but just didn't have enough weight to even crack the top 10. And one interesting story that I like talking about was that Cuban conflict thing. Remember that the noise in Cuba that was making people have memory problems and ear ringing and all these other weird things? Potentially a very large story with the political background, but unfortunately it just kind of fizzled away and we don't really hear much about it. And it didn't crack the top 10. Another one of my favorite stories, Man in the Sky. This was that weird looking creature flying over the mall in Kitwe, Zambia at the Makuba Mall back in March. Didn't take too long, actually just took maybe an hour or two for me to figure out that it was a kind of a superimposed photograph of a Spirit Man kite. But everybody was like freaking out about this photograph, a couple of photographs. And I have a blog entry about that you can read about. Throw that in the chat room real quick. Why not? Oh, there's the thylacine. There he is. Yeah, the Kitwe Man in the Sky. I was kind of hoping he would crack the top 10. But, you know, even ones that I have done a lot of research on, it doesn't mean it's going to make the top 10. Chilean UFO video. This is the one that it actually happened 2014, but it really came out this year and it was kind of debunked by quite a few people. And it's actually getting a little bit more press with a story that's kind of circulating right now about the U.S. and purportedly having 20 billion? I don't even know how much money. A bunch of money tied into UFO research recently. There's another UFO sighting tied into the story. I don't have time to get into that. We'll talk about that next week. It's still kind of developing too, so we'll talk about that. But this Chilean UFO video actually weighs into that, which is kind of weird because it didn't make the top 10. Another story that didn't make the top 10, Tabby's Star. A Tabby Star, kind of, it's really actually last year's story. But yeah, this is the one where people thought that it was a Dyson sphere that aliens had created this Dyson sphere around the star and it was getting energy from it. And an actual scientist thought that maybe aliens were responsible. It's kind of freaky to hear them say that. But nonetheless, they don't think that that's the case. Let's see. We also had the return of the clowns, which clowns were a top three story last year. Unfortunately, didn't make the top 10 this year. Kind of thank goodness, I think. Loch Ness Monster. Quite a few stories of Loch Ness Monster, and even if I were to bundle them together, I have to admit, though, at one point in all of my putting these stories together, the Loch Ness Monster did crack the top 10, but I really felt like at the end of the day, just couldn't do it, just couldn't crack it. The Nazca Mummy was also one that didn't crack the top 10. A lot of other just crazy stories that I'm looking at here, just really... you remember the ghost in the Texas hotel room? That was a good story. Nonetheless, didn't crack the top 10. Yeah, well, that's about it. A couple of just really small stories and some of these. Oh, yeah, Donald Trump's UFO. Remember that story, too. Nothing major. Kind of as we go down the list, there's less and less stuff here. But, oh, yeah, you're waiting for number four. And number three, so we had Tassie, and here it is, just sifting to it. Okay, number four, a lot of data here, a lot of notes, a lot of links, a lot of information, in 87 pages. So number four, the number four story this year in the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017 centers around well, one name, but really two people that we lost a long time ago, and they celebrated a kind of a historic landmark this year, and the 80th anniversary of this couple. So it kind of made it a little bit more, I don't know, of a larger story this year. And the number four story this year is Amelia Earhart. And you're like, wait, what? Beat the Chicago Phantom? Are you serious? Well, it was a big story, and it lasted quite a bit of controversy as well. And come on, it's Amelia Earhart. Well, she would have been 119 years old on July 24th. She disappeared on the morning of July 2nd, 1937, at age 39. And despite a search of over 150,000 square miles over 17 days, neither her nor her navigator, Fred Noonan, nor their Lockheed Electra 10E that they were attempting to circumnavigate the world in was ever found. So searches continued. I mean, all sorts of searches, and even including this year. We mentioned this story. They sent out dogs that they search for bones. They're bone-sniffing dogs that can search as deep as 9 feet in layers as old as 1,500 years. Yeah, well, they found some bones. Well, they thought they were bones, but they were not human, and they were not able to validate anything. And then we had the History Channel disaster. Oh, my goodness. This TV show debuted on Sunday, July 9th on the History Channel. And I say history heavily because they kind of screwed up. TV show, a special called Amelia Earhart, The Lost Evidence. And they came up with this kooky, crazy, outlandish, probably the most outlandish hypothesis of the disappearance of Fred Noonan and Amelia Earhart, is that they were taken into Japanese custody after a crash landing in the Marshall Islands. Now, once this aired, they had all the evidence really pointed towards this photograph. This photograph they had was the key piece of evidence, and this photograph showed what they thought was Amelia Earhart sitting on a dock and Fred Noonan leaning up against this light pole. And so they kind of, hey, here it is. We have photographic proof. Photographic proof of this thing. It was the centerpiece of the episode. And they tied everything together very nice and neat. So it seemed. And there was a lot of inconsistencies. And I'm not an expert on the Amelia Earhart disappearance, but there's a lot of things that didn't seem right to me. And the way they just kind of did everything, they just try to make you think that this is proof positive when it wasn't. You know, the stamp thing too. I don't even talk about the stamps. But anyway, the photograph. The great piece of evidence they have. A military history buff named Koda Yamano quickly researched the photograph that was at the center of the History Channel documentary. I'm sorry, History Channel documentary, and found that it was in fact very misleading. The blogger discovered that the photo that is purportedly of Earhart and Fred Noonan was actually published in 1935, 2 years prior to the disappearance of Earhart and her navigator. It was in a Japanese travel book. So boom, there you go. Do your homework, History Channel. Spokesperson Kirby Dixon said on behalf of the History Channel, quote, "Ultimately, historical accuracy is most important to us and our viewers," unquote. Yikes. Well, they quickly pulled that episode, and I don't think it's been on ever since. Replays were suddenly pulled, and we haven't heard about it since then. But it was in the news quite a bit, the Earhart disappearance and the subsequent information and potential evidence, as well as the 80th anniversary. So that's why the story made the top 10. The 80th anniversary of the disappearance of Amelia Earhart, well, it didn't really disappoint. I mean, come on, bone-sniffing dogs? Who heard of such a thing? And a History Channel search for the truth, which ended in a big letdown, actually continued to keep this mystery even more mysterious. I think they did. I think they did this story even more justice by creating even more mystery behind it. I think it just added to the ongoing lore. That's why I think it's in the top five. Why is the story number four? Well, the mystery is still a mystery. Despite attempts to uncover new evidence, the search for Earhart is still the same as it was before and the same as it ever was. Despite a few stories carrying this topic into the news, it actually fizzled out as quickly as it became a hot topic, and we're once again left for the next big find in this case, which I guarantee you we've not heard the last of Amelia Earhart. So that's your number four story this year, the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017. Your number three story. Wow. That's it. That's your number three story. Wow signal. The study findings reveal. On February 2nd, 2017, Professor Antonio Paris announced that the Wow signal, the experiment behind it, to see whether or not it was caused by comets, was officially concluded. And a 16-page paper was submitted to the Journal of the Washington Academy of Sciences for peer review. The Wow signal experiment was the number two story of 2016, only being beaten out by a very famous snake in Maine that no one is sure they even saw. This experiment might seem like a footnote to some, but it marked the end of what was long considered the greatest potential piece of evidence of intelligent life in outer space ever discovered. That's why that's a big deal. And when this was published and it came out, and he pretty much, when Antonio Paris said, "We validated it's not real, it came from these comets," there was quite a bit of controversy, which you wouldn't really expect from scientists. But even scientists were saying, "We're not sure about this. This doesn't seem right." It's still highly argued, and some people just kind of sidestepped this work that Antonio Paris did to validate this. But it's weird. I mean, he sticks up for himself and talks about the hydrogen emission, which is what they were measuring at the 1420 megahertz level. Some people called it rubbish, but he stands behind his work, and he's still got more work to do. In 2018, as Comet 266P Christensen will be in the neighborhood, and he's going to do the same work again next year on this, and we'll see if this backs up his prior work or not, leads to even more questions, but still not going to validate the Wow signal as a alien signal. We're just looking for a logical explanation, which has eluded us for over 40 years. So why the story made the top 10? The Wow signal was the greatest potential piece of evidence, a potential signal from a distant intelligent civilization through a scientific experiment. We now know that the 40-year-old signal might have a natural explanation. Despite the controversy, many feel that this finally closes the door on one of the greatest astronomical mysteries of all time, although many still feel this experiment does not explain the signal at all. So why is this story number three? While the lead up to this experiment landed the story at number two last year, many had a feeling that this would be the result. Even I felt that way. I knew that more than likely going to find something that's going to kind of go against this. And we're going to, you know, the UFO field would lose this bragging rights, this big chip that they have to continue to fund and to look for signals such as the Wow signal. But either way, explaining the signal away, it's not put a damper on believing that life exists elsewhere, intelligent or not. And putting this argument out to pasture is a great way for the search to move forward. So essentially what I'm saying here is that, yes, it's been a very large centerpiece on what what SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, this is their centerpiece. This is their baby. This is their claim. This is their big bragging right. The Wow signal. We might have found a intelligent communication from outer space. That's the big thing that they've had. And you might say, well, now it's taken away from them. Well, maybe. But maybe this is a great way to move forward. We're talking a lot about exoplanets. We talked about one tonight. Here, a new story on an exoplanet again. So the talk is in the media. It's in everyday conversation now about finding life in outer space. It's no longer just a TV show or speculation in a book or some crazy madman talking about aliens. This is an everyday conversation. So maybe putting this out and putting this aside is going to allow us to step forward and continue our search for life out there. Because we all know there's not a whole lot of intelligent life here on this rock. That's for sure. So that's your number four and number three stories so far this year on the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017. And to quickly, and I mean quickly, go over the top 10 again. A flocalypse gets a partial explanation. That's your number 10 story. Number 9, Bigfoot. Number 8, eclipse slash into the world. Number 7 was flat earthers. Number 6, Chicago Phantom. Number 5, thylacine. Number 4, Amelia Earhart. And number 3, wow signal. Explained? And that's number 3. So next week, the number 2 and number 1 story of the top 10 paranormal news story of 2017 will be debuted. What's left? You might be asking yourself, what's left? I don't know. What is left? What have we not talked about? What is the big stories? You're scratching your head thinking, what did I miss? I don't know. What do we not talk about? Well, you will find out. And before you do, again, I hope you enjoy your Christmas next year. And again, as always, if you have any information about any conference, convention, anything you want me to talk about that's going on out there in the paranormal field, I'll mention it. And I'll definitely put it on the website at paranewsinsider.com. So get a hold of me. You can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com. You can click on the contact tab at the top at paranewsinsider.com, and you can contact me there. If you don't like emails, yeah, the contact form is there. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter. You can get a hold of me any way you need to, and I'll be sure to add your event to the calendar. It's not really a calendar, I guess. It's just a listing. I'll get on the listing, and we'll talk about it here on the Paranormal News Insider. And again, tune in next week. I know it's a holiday. It's not really a holiday. The day after Christmas is not really a holiday. So, you know, grab some leftover Christmas cheer, whatever you got laying around, and join us for the last show of the year for me. And, we'll start a fresh calendar, peel it off and throw it away, and look forward to 2018 after next week. But it's going to be a fun show. We're going to talk about some of the top stories of the last decade. It's going to be a good time. Bring some warm clothing and some warm, clothing's optional on this show. Who cares? Right? It's after 8 o'clock. I could talk that way now. It's right prime time. We'll see you next week, I guess. That's it, right? No, that's not how we end the show. You know that. Keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.